When God calls us into action, when He appoints us to take on a ministry assignment, it's tempting to make excuses, just like Moses did. We say, "Lord, I'm not qualified," or "someone else would do a better job." Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll is teaching from Exodus chapter 3. The Bible tells us that God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. He put him in charge of the Israelites. Immediately, Moses began to list the reasons that he was a bad choice. Chuck titled today's message, "Who? Me, Lord?" We're in Exodus chapter 3.
He was picturing in his mind walking over into the land of Egypt and standing up in front of Pharaoh before all of those, you know, guards and all of that beauty of that court. And he thought, "Oh, I won't have their respect." So God says, "Let me show you what I'm able to do." Verse 2. "What is that in your hand?" he said. "It's a staff." He said, "Throw it on the ground." He threw it on the ground. Became a snake. Moses fled from it. The Lord said to Moses, "Wait a minute, Moses. Stretch out your hand and grasp it by the tail." So he stretched it out and he grabbed that snake by the tail. And it became a staff in his hand. Boy, don't you know he was relieved at that moment? That snake turned back into a staff. God stopped him in his tracks and said, "Look, Moses, I'm able to turn a staff into a snake and back into a staff. And that's something in your hand. I don't give you clever little plastic boxes to do little tricks with when you go before Pharaoh. And I can use a staff. Take your hand there, Moses. Stick it in your garment," it says in that passage. Verse 6, "Put your hand into your bosom." And so he put it inside his robe, just like this. Just put it inside his garment. And then it says, "Pull it out again." He put it out, and it says his hand was as leprous. It was as white as snow. Think of that. He looked at his own hand, and it was leprous. Most dreaded of all diseases. And God said, "Put it back in your garment." He put it back inside and pulled it out again, and the flesh was just like new. Verse 7 says he restored it like the rest of his flesh. Remarkable, huh? God said, "Oh, that's nothing, Moses. You may not have their respect just as Moses, but you wait till I start doing it in their midst. If I can turn the staff into a snake, you know, Moses, I can turn the River Nile into blood. I can bring lice, I can bring locusts, I can bring grasshoppers, I can flood the land of Egypt with whatever I please, Moses. All I ask is that you just go and say the word and then just get out of the way." Oh man, that makes me excited just to think about being Moses. But you know, he still wasn't convinced. Even though God said, "I know you may not have all their respect as you think of it, but you've got all my power," Moses said, "But now wait a minute, Lord." Verse 10, now he starts to plead. Oh, this is so relevant. This is so practical. "Please, Lord." Those words sound familiar? "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant. I'm slow of speech and I'm slow of tongue." You know what that means? It means, "Lord, I don't get thoughts very quickly. And then once I get them, I don't say them in the correct way. I'm slow in my expressions." Some of you could identify quickly with that problem. You say, "Oh, I get in front of a group and I'm just all teeth and lips. I can't even say it. I would be scared to death to stand up in front of the group of Hebrews and say something. As a representative of God, I'm not eloquent. And even though I get a good thought every week or so in my head, I can't get it out when the thought comes." That's Moses. "Man, I've been driving these woolies all over the desert for 40 years, Lord. All I know is bad, bad, bad. That's all I can say. And you want me to stand up in front of the educated Pharaoh? I'm not eloquent." I have a friend who took a Dale Carnegie course, and I wish he were here to tell it It's Howard Hendricks. He says that when he took the course, well, he was a teacher of the course, actually. There were two men in the course that were so terribly afraid that one man literally hid under his desk when it was his turn to go up front and to say his little piece. One guy, every time it came his turn, dismissed himself to go to the bathroom. Every time it was his turn. He just couldn't face getting up in front of a group. That's the way Moses felt. He had lost the knack. You ever feel like that? The excuse is, Lord, I do not have all the ability. I'm not able to carry through. I can't cope with that kind of assignment. I can't speak in public. Let me show you something about the Apostle Paul. It's going to surprise you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just the mention of the Apostle Paul puts into the minds of most Christians the prima donna of public speaking. Most people feel that he must have swept a city like Napoleon or Alexander the Great. Why, he came in and founded churches just with the snapping of his fingers. So eloquent, so able. No, that's not true. If I read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 correctly, I don't find him like that. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. The context is worldly wisdom. I didn't come with that suave, that swagger, that scintillating approach that the Greeks love and hang on among those eloquent speakers, those orators. I wasn't like that. Verse 3, here's the way I was. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. Can you believe that? The Apostle Paul, so nervous, one knee said to the other, let's shake. You know? You could just hear them knocking underneath his robe. Can you believe that? That's the Apostle Paul. You expect him, you know, to just take charge just like a pro. That's not Paul. He was with them in fear, in trembling. As a matter of fact, verse 4 says, his message and his preaching were not even in persuasive words of wisdom, but they were a demonstration of the power of God. Why? Why didn't God choose an eloquent vessel in the Apostle Paul? Verse 5, that the faith of those churches might not rest in man's wisdom, but on the power of God. When the Apostle Paul finished, people had met God. When he walked away, they had heard from God. When he wrote the document to begin the church, it was as if God's hand had written it. I have a small work entitled The Acts of Paul and Thecla. Not an inspired document, but written by one who claims he knew the Apostle Paul. And the appearance of Paul as he describes it in the book is most unusual. He was not tall and handsome. He was short and stubby. He had black, bushy hair, bushy eyebrows. He had poor eyesight and he squinted when he read. He was humped over and even spoke with a stammer. It's not our picture of Paul, is it? Why, we have the idea that he was as Demosthenes. He was not. You see, Moses, like we, had that concept of a leader. If you're going to be a leader, you can't miss a word. And now look at what God says to Moses. Moses, I hear what you're saying. Verse 12. Now you go, Moses, and I will be with your mouth. And I will teach you what you are to say. That's divine speech therapy. I will be right on your lips. I will be right on your tongue. And I will give you just the words right when you need them. You know what I've discovered about the Lord? The Lord does not give us wisdom on credit. The Lord does not give us words on credit, nor insight on credit. You know when He gives us words and wisdom and insight? Right when we need them. At the moment they're needed. Parents feel that is true when they raise their children, and at those very meaningful junctures where the right comment has to come across, how often it comes even beyond our wisdom. And we look back and say, thanks, Lord, that's exactly what needed to be said. But you could not have planned that had you been the wisest of the wise. You see, Moses, I will be with your mouth and I will give you the very words when they are needed. Isn't that a beautiful plan? But it demands faith. God said, I want you to be willing to trust me, Moses. I'll be with your lips. Now, verse 13 seems like a statement that's tantamount to, I'm ready to go. But it's not. It's the fourth excuse. Our Bible reads, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever thou wilt. It sounds like he's saying, Lord, choose your instrument. If it's me, we're ready to go. But that's not what he's saying. The Revised Standard Version renders it, send, I pray, some other person. The Living Bible renders it, Lord, please send someone else. The Berkeley Bible is the best. Oh, Lord, please send anyone else. Lord, I'm not as qualified as all others. That's the fourth excuse. I will not have all the answers. I may not have all their respect. I do not have all the ability. And Lord, I'm not as qualified as all the rest. Oh, that land of Egypt is shot through with capable people that know that culture. They know that style, and they could move in and handle that job. Lord, you're picking on a desert dweller. I haven't been there for 40 years. I don't even know my way around. There's so many others more qualified than I. Ever feel like that? The Lord puts his finger at you, and you say, ooh, me? Oh, but look at the fellow next to me. Man, he's got his degree in that. He's at 13 years, he was with this club that taught him how to speak. Man, he speaks great. Does it wonder? He's good family raised. I've got little children. I'm not, it's where my time has to be spent. Look at that person, so much more qualified. Or look at her. Oh, prayer warrior, 13 years Bible study fellowship. Man, she's Jesus' assistant. Terrific person, very capable. Don't pick on me, Lord. She's much better than I. Past president of WMF. She's been in this church, 10, 12, 15 years. She's the one, Lord, not me. Look at her ability. And the Lord comes back and says, but you are my choice. That's his answer. You see, if you think you are persistent, you haven't done business with God lately. He doesn't give up. He says, I'm not quitting. Now, I want you to notice in verse 14 how he loses his patience. Remember, you had parents, perhaps, like I did, that were patient up to a point. And from that point on, they were not patient at all. That's where God is, right here in verse 14. It says, the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. This is the tone that God must have used. And you're to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. But I will be with your mouth and his mouth. I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he will speak for you to the people. It shall come about that he shall be as a mouth for you, but you shall be as a God to him. You shall take in your hand this staff with which you will perform the signs. You know what God did? He accommodated Moses' desire, but it was less than the best. Aaron proved to be an albatross around his neck. Aaron built a golden calf. those people said, look, let's go back to Egypt. Man, that's where the food is. That's where the fun is. What are we doing out here in the middle of the wilderness? God accommodated Moses' plan, but it was sure less than the best. I want to say something right here that needs to be said. Some of you are being led by God to step out by faith in a plan that seems treacherous. You don't have all the answers. It seems rather bleak from a human point of view. Do you know what the tendency on our part is to do? It's to take somebody else with us. That saves us. That keeps us from having to trust fully. We can trust partially and have a friend along, you know. How many men have gone in business, in partnership, and lived to curse the day they chose that partner? How many women are engaged in pursuits right now with a companion they long since wish they'd never chosen? There's something very independent about God's calling and His plan, and you be absolutely certain before you pick and choose a team that you've got the same vision beating in the heart of that other person, or you go it alone. Moses, I'll send Aaron, but boy, I'll send leanness into your soul. Now, there's a very human response on Moses' part. I just got to share it, even though it goes into next Sunday night. I'll share it, and then we're through. Look at his response, verse 18. It's so practical. Moses departed, returned to Jethro, his father-in-law. And notice what he said to his father-in-law. He's still not convinced. Please, Dad, let me go that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they are still alive. No, that's not what God said to do, Moses. But, you know, God is so gracious. He doesn't care. Knock it off, Moses. Tell him the truth. You know, God doesn't do that. Moses says, Jethro, I'm going to go see if all my buddies are still alive. And Jethro says, fine, peace be with you. Take off. You know, sort of like that. Said something like that. And Moses left, but he just didn't have the full faith to say, Jethro, I'm going to lead an exodus. He just couldn't say that. So God let him by. Let him off. Isn't that good? God's like that. All he wants you to be is willing. That's all he asks. He doesn't expect you to have all the answers, to have all the ability. He doesn't even expect you to have the power. He just asks you to be available and flammable and to burn up for Him. I began with three statements regarding God's voice. I want to close with three. They relate to the matter of responding positively. Once you've quit resisting, here's what you need to do. First, be certain it's God's voice. Be certain you're hearing God's voice. Many people feel they are in a pursuit for God's glory God has nothing to do with. They're on a lark. They've got some unfulfilled desire, some adventurous spirit that they're calling God's will. They've not heard God's voice. God's voice can be screened through the Word of God. He's given us 66 books, the printed page called His Word, and it'll never lead you astray. He's given you wise counselors, friends, acquaintances, parents, teachers, those that you love and respect. Screen what you call the will of God through their thoughts. Be very careful that it's God's voice that you're hearing. Be certain of that. And second, be confident in His power. Don't run aside and think, oh, I'm not powerful enough. You don't have to be powerful. He asks you to be a vessel, a clay pot in which He can house His power. So be confident in His power. Doesn't ask you to be clever. He asks you to be confident in Him. And third, be comfortable with His plan. Don't alter it. Be comfortable with His arrangement. Don't throw in an errand and think it'll make the plan better. Go the hard way rather than a compromise. It'll be a better plan. I wrestled as I prepared this message with what does it mean to be willing? What does it mean to give up the old stubbornness of a mule, stop resisting and start giving in? What does that mean? Came across an anonymous piece that says it best. Listen carefully. Lord, I am willing. I am willing to receive what you give. I am willing to lack what you withhold. I am willing to relinquish what you take. I am willing to suffer what you inflict. I am willing to be what you require. That's how to stop resisting. I'm willing to receive what you give, lack what you withhold, relinquish what you take, suffer what you inflict, be what you require. May we bow together. God has spoken. But maybe you don't know the voice of the shepherd because you're not a sheep. You're willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to accept your Son as my Savior, my God. Jesus Christ died that you might have forgiveness, purpose, eternal life, power, inner healing and restoration, definition, destiny. But in order for you to have Jesus Christ, you must submit your will to His will. I am willing to ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. I want to do that right now. I also speak to those of you that are born again, but you become mule-like as a sheep, going your own way again. You're resisting His plan. It's not Aaron that's in your way, it's yourself. Just one excuse after another. And I want you to know that His love keeps Him from asking anything of you that's unfair. May seem illogical, but it's not unfair. Could be a very significant evening for some of you, and I think it will be, because we've met in His name and asked Him to speak to lives. You may be that life tonight.
From his biographical study on the life of Moses, you're listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. He titled today's message, Who, Me, Lord? Stay with us because we've saved the closing portion of today's Insight for Living to hear a personal thank you note from Chuck. But first, I want to remind you about some of the resources that Chuck and the team at Insight for Living have produced for you. We're often told how much our listening family enjoys biographical studies from Chuck, and this classic on Moses is no exception. All 20 sermons in the series are available on CD, and they're in stock right now when you call us at 800-772-8888. The Insight for Living mobile app also includes a section of full sermons from Chuck, and you can freely listen to the digital files for the messages on Moses. Plus, we've prepared a brand new Bible study workbook for you. This resource is part of our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies. It's spiral bound, which makes it perfect for jotting down personal notes and observations. You can purchase the Bible study workbook for Moses, a man of selfless dedication, by going to insight.org/workbooks. In the United States, we're approaching the Thanksgiving holiday, and it's the perfect time to express our gratitude for you, our valued listener and friend. Here's Chuck.
Today, I want to hit the pause button from our broadcast and talk directly to you. It's no exaggeration for me to put it this way. You are a treasure to Insight for Living. Our theme, in fact, this month has been, thank you for the gift of you. You and you alone represent someone who cares, someone who understands, someone who is growing and learning and, best of all, changing to become more like Christ. That thrills me more than anything I could name. So thank you for being you, for being there for us. And I'm not at all hesitant to add to this, thank you for your contribution, your financial gift. Thank you for being willing to dig deeply, and for some of you to give sacrificially. Believe me, I understand what that means. And my appreciation knows no bounds. Thank you for the gift of you.
Yes, we are indeed very grateful for the gift of you. If you'd like to get in touch with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living, here's our contact information. To write a letter or send a donation, our address is Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. To speak with one of our friendly ministry representatives, you can call 800-772-8888. Or anytime, day or night, go online to insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll continues his biography of Moses, a man of selfless dedication, Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Who, Me, Lord?, was copyrighted in 1975, 1978, 1981, 1985, 1998, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.